We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
He's ready. Runners lead at first, second, and third. The pitch to Stanton. And he swings it. It's a high fly to deep left center field. And this ball is long gone. A grand slam for Stanton on the first pitch.
Sweet Carol, I love this song. Woo, woo, woo.
He fires. When ground ball left side, grabbed by Urshela, sets, fires to first, and the ball game is over. The Yankees win. A crushing defeat for the Red Sox.
And it's going to be great. Win or lose, I'm just going to enjoy the experience. And oh my God, I get to cover the eighth inning, Sweet Caroline. Woohoo! This is going to be so much fun. They're losing 9-1. I don't care.
Here it comes. Swinging a pop-up foul, first base side, long run, Dahl back. He gets there, and he can't get it. He didn't reach far enough. He kicks. He deals. Swing and a miss. He got it. Oh, did he foul tip it? It's dropped. Oh, it was in and out of the mid of Vasquez. He kicks. Here it is. Swinging a line drive base hit in the left center field to give the Yankees the lead. It one hops the center field wall. Here's the throw to second base, and Judge is in there. Throw hits him in the leg. A two-run double, and the Yankees lead 4-3. Oh, he could have been out twice. Here's the 0-1. Swung on a long drive to left. This one's gone. Over everything. Two-run homer. Stanley does it again, and the Yankees lead 6-3.
By the way, this hour is brought to you by Team Malone.
Team who?
Team Malone.
Team Malone.
I mean, right. can we just get rid of this whole eighth inning Sweet Caroline song? Right? And the whole place just is dead and everyone's silent. No one's saying a word because they're shocked. And it's a big ball game. And here we come with so good, so good. Like, again, this should be like Geno at a Celtics game. Like, have some smarts. Figure out when to play this stupid song. You want to play it when you come back, or you got a lead, or you get out of the inning, or it's tied, or something, that's fine. But if you have an inning like the top of the eighth, how do you play that song, and how do you people sing it? Like, how do you people stand in your seats, and you're so excited to sing it? It makes me sick. It makes me as sick as that weekend was. Like, you got to be kidding me, Donaldson. You come in to face a lefty, and you end up drilling Rizzo. Like, pitching Brett Gardner like he's Barry freaking Bonds. The guy sucks. He's got no pop at all. We're pitching him like he's Barry Bonds. Schwarber, catch a fly ball in the infield. Dahlbeck, catch a fly ball in the foul territory. Vasquez, when you catch strike three in a foul tip, hold the damn thing. You're not turning two. Hold it, pump the fist, stand up and throw it back. Alex, if it gets dropped, run out there and start screaming at somebody. Rip Joe West's head off. Do something. Ask him if he can help out with the first base umpire. Like, go out there and talk to him. Why is Cora not on the field? Why is Alex not on the field? Seriously, I don't even understand. Great, it's not reviewable, but still, you can go out there and talk to him, can't you? Like, it's just so disappointing. You got a weekend to bury the New York Yankees, and you get shelled. Evaldi goes out there. He's been pitching great all year and just gives it up. Listen, I'm not going to tell you to boycott the team. I'm not going to tell you to not watch. But holy smokes, was that a disappointment? The Yankees got more balls than you, period. The Yankees showed up and had a sack and walked into your place and swept your ass when you could have buried them. Instead, you're still going to make the playoffs. Awesome, because Baltimore and Washington suck. But what a huge disappointment. A huge disappointment.
Yeah, I tell you what, I can't even this is the one thing I thought would not happen. But you're right.
Swept.
But you're right. They just
needed to win one.
You couldn't win just one game. And I know you tried. I mean, you tried. I get it. I get it. But still, you can't just constantly beat the crappy team. So you're going to make the playoffs. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. And I still don't want to hear people saying, well, you know, lucky for you, you end with Baltimore, because I bring up your point. And they're all playing the Baltimore the same amount of times. They just played them earlier. And you still have a winning record against the Yankees.
All you have to do is win one game. And you walk out of here with a one-game lead over the Yankees, a one-game lead over Toronto. You play Baltimore. They play each other. Somebody takes two out of three. You know, somebody's going to end up being three behind you with three to play. Another team's maybe be two behind you with three to play. Like, that's all you really needed to do. Like, yeah, you'll probably still get in. It might not be at Fenway. Maybe it's at Yankee Stadium. Who the hell knows what happens between those two teams, Toronto and New York. But it was just, and then you get Tanner Houck. I've been screaming for like 3 weeks to just put him in the bullpen because that's where he can be a weapon for you. 4 or 5 innings at a time, whatever. Go find somebody else to do that. Use him twice a week. And maybe if they put him out in that bullpen 3 or 4 weeks ago, you would have felt more comfortable bringing him in with a guy on base or more comfortable with him just coming out of the bullpen being a reliever, not walking the first two guys and then walking the last two guys. Like he's a weapon. There's no question about it. But when you have him be a starter for 4 or 5, whatever it is, 4 or 5 innings for as long as you did, and then just say, hey, go to the bullpen, it takes a little bit of an adjustment. And I just feel like if they had given him a couple more weeks, he'd be locked in here going in the final 2 weeks instead of out in that bullpen trying to figure out how to become a reliever. Now, if Whitlock killed you, Taylor killed you, both those guys. Darwinson, that's Taylor's inning. Maybe he gets Rizzo. He's been, like, outstanding. Whitlock comes in instead of maybe trying to stretch out, what's his name, Richards, and then comes Ottavino. But, yeah, right now they're a mess. That bullpen that was really good in Seattle, and kind of even in Chicago, they carried it through the crappy teams. They're a mess right now again. They're going to get in the playoffs, most likely. I can't promise you anything once you get there. I can't promise you a damn thing.
Yeah, what a buzzkill.
Oh, it's awful.
There's really... You had a chance, like what, Saturday's game?
Well, Friday. Here we go, right? Put it in my veins. Again, Evaldi Cole, 3-0. Boom, out of the gate. Really? 3-0 out of the gate?
He picked that. And so that game, I'm thinking, okay, Evaldi really needed. You're probably feeling pretty good about that. Now, do you still feel like he's your starter in game one? Like I said, if you do make it to that first playoff game, that first wild card game, you starting Evaldi?
Yes.
I just think about it differently. I would say it's still up for grabs. I wouldn't say it's his. I would say if you have Chris Sale pitching every game, you'll feel much better than you would Evaldi.
I know, but what are you going to do? You're going to judge Sale off of what? How he looked against the Mets? How he looks against Baltimore tomorrow night?
I am going to say he earns it. I would not base my starter on their entire year. I would not base it on who has the best ERA over the course of?
Yeah, but
Evaldi 100...
was like for like 2 months your best pitcher.
Yep.
So now you're basing it off of one game.
I would say okay, so he's probably going to pitch again, right?
He'll get one more.
Okay, he'll get one more.
Sale Evaldi in Baltimore.
He sucks again, and then what?
Well, if he gets lit up against Baltimore, then you get problems.
Okay,
then you get problems.
So that's kind of my stance as of right now. I would say you probably. So if the Yankees have Toronto, and then they also have
Tampa.
And they also have Tampa. So just by...
They could go 3-3 easy. Easy. And don't fall for the whole, hear people saying that Tampa's got nothing to play for those last three games. It's a 28-man roster. It's not 38. Like, if the Red Sox were to happen to clinch, and they would say they're going to rest their guys, who is that? Plawecki a catcher? Maybe he should be the catcher. Who is that? Arroyo at second? Like, they don't have enough guys on their bench. They only have 28. In years past, once you clinch, you could put your AAA team out there. You could start AAA guys and bring in 4 guys out of the bullpen you've never seen before. You can't do that anymore. So Tampa Bay, their bench is their starters. Like, they just interchange them left and right. Same thing with their bullpens, legit. So I'm not worried about Tampa laying down. I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm sure if you're Tampa Bay, you don't think you'd love to eliminate the Yankees, given some of the issues they've had in the past with them?
Yeah, and I'd also say it's not like you have the ability. You're still going to try to have to manipulate the rest for each pitcher. Really, that's the most important thing. Like, as far as that rotation goes, if you are going to start Sale and the first game would be October 5th, when is the last time he has to pitch so he's ready October 5th? Like, wouldn't you start on October 5th and work backwards?
Yeah, well, that's what they kind of did. But it's interesting the way it gets set up. They got to throw an extra starter in there because they got 6 games in a row over the weekend. But it's just, they could have just been in total control and been able to manipulate it any way they want, including your second base situation, right? I mean, you could have sat there and said, okay, we got a 2-game lead with 4 to go, whatever, 3-game lead with 4 to go. We're going to put Arroyo in there the rest of the time. But right now, you can't. You got to leave Iglesias in there. He's your best second baseman, defensively, offensively. So again, it goes back to the question, why is Arroyo even here? Like, why is he here? Why isn't he in Worcester playing second every single day, fielding ground balls, getting at bats, just playing every single day? So once you sort of clinch, you can then make that switch. Or you can roll into Baltimore with Washington and rather than having him play once a week, because you're still in this thing, like, why isn't he there playing? Why is he up here once a week? So now he goes in, you saw him last night, got sawed off. He doesn't look right at the plate. And I don't blame him, but why is he even here? You should be down in AAA playing every single day. No, they got problems. And it's Taylor and Whitlock right now. They can't afford it. Things got to be perfect. They need their bullpen locked in. They had guys throwing great. Darwinson came back, I think, 9 1/3 scoreless. And then throws up all over himself. Can't handle the pressure. Can't handle the pressure. I don't know what else to tell you. Throws against bad teams, can handle it. Can't handle this one. Ottavino hasn't been good in a while. Barnes may not even be on the playoff roster the way he's been throwing lately. Your bullpen's a disaster right now. And it's just out of nowhere. It's just, you know, basically when you lose two of your best arms, it looks like it looks. It's pathetic. It's awful. And I'm going on rants Thursday, Friday. I'll rant about the Patriots suck. I'll never tell you not to go and not to follow, though. That's a big difference. I didn't tell you to boycott. And by the way, there was a sellout all weekend long. Oh, Yankee fans took over. Okay. You guys apparently forgot what it was like in 02, 01, 2003, Same. 2004. Apparently you forgot. It's been so long since these two teams have been relevant when they play each other. But back when they were, like when I was playing, that's what it was like. You go to Yankee Stadium when it means something in September, and Johnny Damon, it's a bomb, or David, it's a bomb, you hear it. People are going nuts, and you're wondering if the Red Sox took over Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, rather. This is the way it's always been, back when it meant something, and it means something right now. It's the way it's always been. Stanton hits a bomb, Yankees fans go nuts. Yeah, it's 70-30. It's the way it's always been. Now, all of a sudden, this whole thing, it didn't count. That's welcome. It's welcome because that's when it meant something back when it was always like this.
Non si può.
Shut up.
Parlo.
Stanton. And what about J.D. Martinez? Does anybody look worse at the plate than J.D. Martinez? Right anybody now, more pitchable no. than J.D. Martinez right now? Honest to God.
How about Xander? First pitch swinging with the guy in second and third?
Yeah, I don't care about that. If he takes that, we're going to be bitching about taking a fastball down the middle. Well, you know what I mean? I don't mind that. But J.D., Jesus, he looks awful. He looks locked up. I don't get it. Sweet Caroline. You guys like Sweet Caroline?
You know, listen, here's my thing with Sweet Caroline. Okay. If you just play it when they're winning, aren't you going to piss off the people that literally just really want to hear that song?
Well, screw you.
I mean, so what is it? What does it matter if they play it? Like I get the timing of it is different. Like when, you know, especially this weekend, it's a little bit more. And Tyler was at every single game.
How about this?
So Tyler has a different feeling towards it.
I heard the suggestion. I like this suggestion. After the top of the fifth. How about that? Top of the fifth. Once you do that, like eighth inning, like games are decided in the eighth. Like it sets up. If they score like four runs in the fifth and you're down 5-2, 5-1, whatever. Go play your freaking song. Okay, you got half the game to go. But after the eighth?
See, I don't. Okay, so
playing the fifth.
I could care less either way.
It doesn't
way.
Mean anything.
So
or
like,
as much.
So there's a lot of stadiums, college stadiums, where at the end of the third quarter, a lot of them play like a certain rap song or a rock song, and then it just so everybody in the stands are anticipating it, and they all get excited about it, and it doesn't matter whether they're winning or losing. Like, it doesn't matter. Wisconsin, jump around. It's amazing. Sometimes they're getting their ass kicked. They still play the song, and people still get excited. I don't know. That doesn't bother me, like, at all, the fact that they play it. Doesn't bother me.
So you like, think so Wisconsin's playing, like, Ohio State.
And they're getting whooped up.
One versus two. And they're getting smoked, 34-0.
Yes, they play
fourth
the song.
Quarter, you play it, jump along.
End of the third
you
quarter, jump around.
Wisconsin fans are looking at it going, really?
Have you seen the videos?
Really?
I've seen
the videos.
I don't think people actually
doing the fifth.
So what? They're doing it in the fifth.
Just do it in the fifth.
Yeah, I'm fine with it either way.
No, just move it. Do it in the fifth inning.
Why don't you do it in the second inning?
I tell you what. When the
do
team,
it early on.
When the team runs out in the field, all right, after the anthem, the team runs out in the field, bump, bump, bump. There we go. So good, so good. The game's starting. You're at Fenway Park. Wee-hee. So, yippee, yippee, yippee.
So the reality is it really should only be played, if you really want to control it without having any emotions be involved, they only play it when they win. That's it. That's it. You win, then they play it. Anyone who's there gets to sing along.
Well, they play Dirty Water when they
win,
right?
Well, what do they play Take Me Out to the Ball Game in Chicago?
Seventh.
It's okay. Always in the seventh.
And what if they're losing? What if they're losing?
It's a seventh inning stretch.
Okay,
seventh inning stretch.
So what? So do you get mad
Cubs.
About that?
They always suck, except for like 1 year, 2 years. No, but you know, you play Dirty Water right after a Red Sox win, correct?
Sure, that's fine. Switch it.
Why don't you play it after a loss? People love that song. People love that song. Play Dirty Water after a loss. They love it, right? They love it. Play in the fifth inning. How's that? Let's meet in the middle. Play in the fifth.
I'm
halfway through
too.
The game. Don't
Take
play it in the eighth.
Me out to the
don't play it in the eighth.
Game.
It's a joke. All right. So Patriots, this mantra this year, the do better thing, we can do better.
Worse.
It has gotten, it's so bad. Like, it's just a bunch of robots. And we sort of picked up on it yesterday, and it's not just the rookies anymore. You'll hear that in Maloney and Foria next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
My magic sauce here is have to go back to working and do better. Got to do better in every area. Got to do a better job. Got to move the ball better than we did to play better defense, play better in the kicking game.
I can do a better job. We'll get better. We can definitely get better there. I got to get better, and I'll get better at that. I can do a better job of that. We can all play better together.
Just got to be better. Better at everything we do. We just got to play better overall. We just got to be better as a team. We have to get better. That starts tomorrow morning.
We got to play better in situations. That's the things that we got to do better.
I mean, we all got to get better. Yeah, we got to be better. You know, we got to be better.
But we just got to execute better than them. We got to just do a better job of stopping it.
We need to just continue to get better.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's it.
All right, so that was, Ryan, correct me if I'm right on this, okay? Yep. I'm going to try and identify all the people who were saying better. I feel like this is like a children's game, okay? You had Bill Belichick in there.
Yes.
You had Hunter Henry.
Yes.
David Andrews.
Yes.
Mac Jones.
Yes.
You had McCourty.
Devin McCourty, yes.
Did you have Van Noy?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, did you have Matthew Judon?
Yes, I did.
Wow, did I miss anybody?
Veterans.
I don't think you did.
So that's a sample. I'm sure there was more. And 41 times.
41 betters.
Post-game. 41 times.
41 betters.
What does it mean now? Like, it doesn't, this doesn't mean anything. Like, don't you kind of lose credibility after, like, if I try to punish my kids, and I threaten them. I say, listen, you do it one more time, like, I'm taking your phone away. Well, sure enough, they do it again. And then I say the same thing. Hey, one more time, I'm going to take your phone away. You lose all credibility, right? Like, they're not afraid of you.
Well,
they're not scared of you.
We've heard that before. We've heard that from, I think, like, even like David Price and Sale at times. Remember? I got to be better. I got to be better. And we're like, okay. But after like the fourth or fifth time in a row, it's like, enough. That's one person. This entire team is just, that's the only phrase they're using. And I mean, it's just,
isn't it becoming obnoxiously irritating?
It is.
When it comes to just, okay, you got to think of something else. Like, you cannot, if they keep saying this, let's say they only win 7 games. And then how many weeks are they going to say, we just got to do better?
I can do a better job. We'll get better. We can definitely get better there. I got to get better. And I'll get better at that.
Oh my God. And it ends. So he'll say better, and we're going to start it now, and we're going to do that. So we're going to be better, and that's what we're going to do. I just feel like they need to come together, and all of them need to stop acting so holier than thou, and like how they're like, this is the right thing to do.
They better get better.
They're quickly. Not going to get better.
Well,
quickly.
They better get better quickly. Because
good news is we can still play better.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yep. Oh no, they can.
No, you can't.
Well, I don't know.
Not
you don't think
week.
They're capable of?
Not this week.
So speaking of this week, our boy Boston Sports Imp, who's outstanding. Patriots have lost 3 straight home games in the regular season, though they haven't lost 3 straight home games in a regular season since 1995.
3 straight home games.
26 years. And of course, if they drop one this week to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, that'll be the first time in 26 years. How about this one from them?
Ooh.
During the Belichick era. Home regular season underdog of 6 or more points, because they are this weekend. By the way, it's 6. Why isn't it like 12.5? But anyway, it's 6. Bucks are favored by 6. Brady was twice that happened to him in his career here in New England in 141 games. And both those were his rookie year. Colts and the Rams in 2001. His first year playing, I should say. Twice in 141 games. Without Brady, it's the third time now in 7 games. So you're a 6-point underdog. And I tell you what. If the Patriots cover that line,
no way.
Vegas is going to be building another casino. Because I don't know who in their right mind would ever think that Brady and the Bucs are walking into Foxborough only going to beat the Patriots by 6. Does anyone feel good about 6? Would you take 6? Patriot fans, would you take 6? Oh, yeah, Pats are going to keep this close.
No
really?
Way.
This offense is going to be able to keep this close. No. Oh, this defense is going to be able to stop that. That's where we're at right now.
I'm actually amazed. So they just got whooped up on by New Orleans. What are they seeing in Tampa that... Because they're missing 2 of their corners? Because the Rams completely annihilated them? I mean, the Rams, The Rams were playing like that was their crosstown rival, and it was the last time they were ever going to play them. When your head coach, Sean McVay, is jumping up, high-fiving everybody, running into the end zone after guys score touchdowns, running into the tunnel after they stop them on defense, they put all their effort and energy into make almost like having a coming-out party. And that ain't they ain't going to last. That team, great, I get it, they're good, whatever, but that is not going to last.
Well,
they play
it,
them again, it'll be different.
They do sling it. 98% of the bets right now are on the Bucs, and I am shocked it's that low. 98%.
It's That's already amazing. Moved the line from 5.5 to 6. So it'll be at 7 by the
I don't
end
know. How the hell did it start at 5.5? Like, how do you, again, based on
So how much money do I have to bet to, if like, I put like $1,000 down, how much am I winning?
I don't know. It might be, what is it? Is it minus 110?
Like 9 something.
You got to put like $1,100 to win 1,000.
Isn't this like a guarantee?
Oh, my God.
Why would you not run to Rhode Island or New Hampshire?
Like I said, if the Patriots were to somehow cover this line of 6 and get it before it goes to 6.5, get it before it goes to 7.5, I don't get it. Let's go to Paul in East Boston. Paul, what's up? You're on with Lou and Christian.
Hey, what's up? Hello, this is Paul. Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to talk about Mac Jones and everything that you guys are, you know, talking about the guy. I mean,
we feel bad
you have
for
a
him?
Lot of good points. I don't necessarily feel bad.
No, we do.
He's doing a really good job. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Look, put it this way. The guy's a rookie, right?
Yeah.
He's doing what he needs to do in the situation he's in. Now, are Correct. We asking for a lot? I mean, Patriots fans are stubborn people. Too much. You know what I mean? The guys... If you ask me, they could be easily 2-1 because of that Miami. I mean, people putting that loss on him.
Okay, no. Nobody's putting that loss on him. First of all,
Paul, show me one person in the city that's putting that loss on him.
I know one person, Shannon Sharp.
I've been listening to you guys for 3-4 days now.
Okay. Right?
And I love both of you guys. When you play for the Patriots and Lou, when you play for the Red Sox, you're unbelievable, both of you. I give you guys all the props in the world. I listen, dude, believe it or not.
Paul, real quick, let me just stop you real quick. There isn't a person in this city, including us, that have put that loss in Miami on him, okay? The fumbles and the coaching, they weren't prepared. Earlier today, I don't know if you heard it, but I feel bad for the guy. He's doing his job, and he's not getting support from anyone. Everybody is letting him down. So go ahead, talk to us again about what we think about Matt.
Listen, this is today, I agree. You have been saying that, all day today. He played unbelievable. He did what he had to do in this game. But throughout the last couple of games, I feel like you guys weren't giving him the credit. You were like, oh, he's afraid to throw the ball down the field and this and that. I don't think they want him to just yet. And now that we're talking about it as fans, you don't think he's going to listen to the media here and there? And you guys,
no, whatever. Okay, if he does grow up. I mean,
yeah,
whatever.
Honestly,
I mean,
he's a quarterback. You're a grown adult now. Sorry, you're not a kid anymore. You don't have study hall. I mean, and nobody's coming in for bed check.
What do you think
okay?
Zach Wilson's dealing with? I mean, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, when nobody gives a rat's ass, is dealing with it down there. He's hearing the negative thoughts. I don't think complimenting Mac Jones on what he's looked like for the first 2 weeks and wondering why he's passing up shots down the field is bullying your quarterback. But apparently you guys are so sensitive.
Well, here's the thing. We
that
wanted
you apparently
him
think it is.
Other than okay, the shots down the field. He threw a bunch of them. Much more than he's thrown in the first two games, and he's a lot more aggressive, but he missed. And if I'm going to mark him down for anything, it's the passes that he missed downfield. Those he needs to complete those. You don't have a lot of them. The guys are open. Nobody was pushed out of bounds. There wasn't a bunch of tight coverage. He missed the throws. You want to get on him for a play-action pass where the entire line misses the blocking scheme or the back gets blown up and he's literally fighting for his life? That's not his fault. And I don't blame him for 2 of the 3 interceptions. And that's not me just, you know, cutting him some slack. It wasn't his fault. He did his job, yet he bears the burden for their loss.
Well, he's the quarterback. There's no question about it. So, all right, when we come back, we got to stop giving this football team, this organization, too much credit based on the front of their jerseys. We'll explain that as Maloney and Fourier continue right after this.
Still want to know how you get dick from Richard. I don't know.
Still curious,
it seems
huh?
So weird. Somebody call and tell me how. Still don't know.
Still don't know. By the way, yeah, we talked to Mac Jones earlier today at 2:30. If you missed that interview with the quarterback, you can hear it right here. Maloney and Fourier at 5:15, 93.7 FM WEI. We'll replay it at 5:15. So the Patriots suffer this loss. And I bought it. I bought it during the week. You know, I felt that way going to the Jets, like I said, unknown. But I bought in. I looked at this team and said, all they have is Kamara. Like, Bill in the past would take away the number one weapon. This team is at home. They're not going to go 0-2 at home. It's not a trap game. They're not good enough for that. He'll have them ready. They'll stop Kamara, and Winston won't come in here and win. And I was wrong. And I bought in. And I tell you, it won't happen again. Because I look at this team, and it's like, I did. I gave this organization credit for the front of their jerseys. It says Patriots. Back when it meant something. But it's over. Like, it's over. Like, I don't want to hear any more about how, the New England Patriots don't lose at home, or the New England Patriots don't give up fourth quarter leads, or the New England Patriots are great at situational football, or they're better coached than any team in the league. All that is over with. That's years ago. That used to be like that. You got to look at something else. It's different now. You got to hope they're building something special. Okay? Seriously. That's where you're at. You got to take the little positives out of games. Like, actually, I look at that game now in the Saints and being disgusted and disappointed. I turn around and sit there and say, I'm not even mad at Mac Jones. I like the fact that he took shots down the field. He missed them, but hopefully next week he builds on it. Okay, I'm just trying to go back to remember what this is all about. They ain't winning 10 games. They ain't winning 11 games, 12. This ain't team 8 in the playoffs. So just watch Mac Jones and hope that by week 13, 16, 17, whatever, you see a quarterback getting better and you got an idea whether this kid can play or not. And maybe you do that with some other players as well. Whatever it takes. At this rate, you think Steph Gilmore's going to play for you? Anybody not think? You think Bill, by week 8, you think Bill's going to actually keep Steph Gilmore? Or is he going to turn it into a future asset? At this rate, this ain't about this year. Look for the little things, okay? Don't give me the past stuff. Stop basing this team off history of what the Patriots were in the past. It's over with. The guy at quarterback is in Tampa. He's coming back in Sunday as a member of the Tampa Bay Bucs. Christian, it's over.
I like what you said about the whole name on the front of the jersey. Like, because Devin McCourty actually last night in the postgame show, and I really respect Devin because he's really kind of. I think he kind of understands, the temperature
everything.
In the room, and he's really, and he does a good job explaining it. So I was, when he said this last night after the game, I was actually thinking of you.
Each week, we kind of live off of what the Patriots have done in the past and fast starts and all of that. But for this team, we got to go do those things. And, we got to stop talking about it and getting it done.
So vindicated. I feel like you should feel a little bit vindicated because I think he co-signed what you were sort of saying last week. I feel like you were kind of hinting away to that last week.
Yeah,
we don't know this team. We don't know this team.
But I thought they would win this game.
Why are you already got? It's almost like they get a head start because of what it says on the front of their jersey.
That's it.
Hey, listen, everybody out starts here. The Patriots, you come to the front because of what past teams and past players have accomplished.
Yes.
You're living off the success of the other guys.
Yes.
And but you haven't done anything.
None of them are here. You hear people say, New Orleans going in to play Foxborough. The Patriots in Foxborough with Bill Belichick, still a very dangerous team. I like the Pats in this game. And it's like, based on what? Like, based on the past? Based on history? Like, Bill Belichick's a great coach. He's got a whole new just roster. Like, look how many guys they brought in last year at the free agency. Look how many draft picks they had the last 2 or 3 years. It's all new guys. None of these guys have earned that. None of them have earned that respect that we give this organization.
Yep.
They haven't done anything to earn it yet. Maybe they will by the end of the year. That's why I say this is about the buildup. Okay, I thought they were a 10-7 club. Okay, I was way off. I don't know if they can get to 7 wins. Because you start looking at 50-50 games. They've already had 2 of them, and they lost them both. Like, they had to beat the Jets. They beat the Jets. Zach Wilson gave it to them. The other 2 games, Miami at home, New Orleans at home, those aren't 50-50 games or even 60-40 because you're at home. How are you going to do it when you look at the rest of the schedule against, like, the Chargers and the Panthers? And some of the other teams, you'll say 50-50. The Titans, are they 50-50 anymore? Like, I don't know where they come from. You got the Jets again. 60-40. You got Jacksonville. You should beat the Falcons. Like, okay,
you think?
Where else are we looking? Like, who do you feel good about? Miami at the end of the year?
Yeah. No, I you're right. So, for me, it was kind of interesting because, we spent at least the first 2 days, really the first day and a half, a big chunk on Monday, talking about Mac Jones and his, you know, unwillingness to throw the football down the field. I felt like he was so scared about making mistakes that he wouldn't throw the football down the field. Like, he was resistant to the whole idea. And maybe it was because the Patriots were holding him back. Well, okay, so we had kind of an answer to that because Josh McDaniels last Tuesday, okay, actually said this in regards to Mac and his trust for him.
I trust him completely. For me, there's not a whole lot that we're holding back for him. You want to be able to test those areas of the field as you move forward, and I want him to be aggressive when it's time to be aggressive.
Okay, so holding back, testing those areas, be aggressive. Okay, let me give you a sequence here. Let me give you the third quarter where the Patriots went 16 plays for 72 yards and ended with a field goal. Ooh, so exciting. So this was a great sequence, okay? Because they got a great drive going. Ooh. They had two quarterback sneaks. So great. You have the ball on the 11, Lou. Yeah. You have the ball on the 11. First down and goal. First down at the 11. You give the ball to Brandon Bolden to the left. No gain. Mm. Second down, Brandon Bolden to the right. No gain. Nope. Actually, my mistake.
Yes.
They lost a yard.
Yes.
Still, no gain. Then on third down and 11, right? Because you had it at the 11. You lost a yard. You throw a swing pass to Jonnu Smith, who gets you about 4 yards. You know, you're not aggressive. You're not testing those areas. You are holding back. So the three things that I took from Josh about holding back, he's not holding back.
Trust him.
He is trusting them. He does want to test those areas. He wants them to be aggressive. No, 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 no. Not only that, but I would say you threw the ball to the most inconsistent guy during the day. Jonnu Smith was dropping balls, missing blocks, getting penalties, giving up pick sixes because he can't hold on to the football. So out of all the options, of all your abilities and to push the ball down the field and be aggressive, you basically just give up on the play. You don't trust him.
Christian.
You will not release him. You are complete. You're like a helicopter mom right now as a quarterback's coach. Leave him alone. I think they're ruining him. This guy can throw the ball down the field.
When like,
he's good. Let him do it. Don't tell me you trust him. Don't tell me that you're willing to. Hey, isn't this an area that they need to test to see if he can do it?
Christian.
The red zone?
In that drive, you're down 21-3. You get the ball on your own 20, okay? You actually get a holding call from Andrews. So now it's first and 20. He went 8 for 9 on that drive for 77 yards. To get the ball to the 11, 8 for 9, 77 yards. He took you all the way down the field, and when you get to the 11, you hand the ball off to Brandon Bolden. Now, he doesn't get a yard. It's second and 10, and you give it to him again. Like, what are you trying to do?
Let's go to the third and
5 for the kid? Try to get 4 or 5 yards from Brandon Bolden? He's slow. He is so slow.
He's your third back.
So slow. It was like earlier in the game when it was like 3rd and 1, and they gave it to him. They pitched him out to the right. He was so slow to get out there.
So he gets you down there with his arm.
That's the only time you've been in the red zone. The only time you've been in the red zone all game, you were 0-for-1. You got a field goal. That was it. He took you all the way down there, and you hand the ball off to Brandon Bolden at the 11.
And you throw a swing pass on 3rd and 11.
You put
third
it in
and
him?
11.
Why are you putting it on who? Was that a must throw?
So let's see.
Why do you have to throw the swing pass?
How obvious is you have, I think they rushed 3 guys. They're in no hurry. So they're dropping everybody back. They're flooding the end zone, and they're flooding it. So listen, let them catch it at the 8. We don't care. We'll tackle them. Just don't let them throw it into the end zone. So what does he do? They flood the end zone. All the routes go into the end zone. And the only option is the freaking swing pass to the tight end who has been killing you all game.
Killing you.
Destroying you. And that Andrews play, I want to say Jonnu Smith had a holding call also, but they pinned it to Andrews.
Yes.
There were 2 penalties on that play.
Yes.
One was Smith, the other one was Andrews, and they called it on the TV as Andrews, but they're both guilty of it.
Let me go to Danny and Quincy. Go ahead, Danny. Oh, what's up?
Well, the only one that needs that lecture is you.
Why?
Okay?
Why?
The McCourty lecture. I mean, the back of the jersey, the front of the jersey. I mean, I told you that on Friday.
Danny, I've been saying it for 3 weeks. Danny, I've been saying that for 3 weeks, what McCourty said yesterday.
I mean, McCourty said. Any logical, sane Patriots person knows the team got overhauled after Brady left.
Yeah.
And the new bunch of guys signed as free agents with a rookie quarterback. I told you that on Friday. Okay. So
yeah, we agree.
Okay. All right. Now, as far as the game went, you know, I mean, the only positive special teams play, Jake Bailey hits punts a 64-yard punt. Now, the guy receives it on the 6-yard line, and he runs it back to the 31. I mean, they screwed that one up. Unbelievable. The offense put the defense back on the field three consecutive 3-and-outs. They didn't get their first down until 11 minutes and 34 seconds into the second quarter. That was the play that White got hurt on. You put the defense back on the field that many times with those hideous blue uniforms when the temperature on the field was 90 degrees.
It's
you
want to
yellow. Attack Bill? Ask him why he didn't wear the friggin' white-on-white uniforms. I know that's a laughable thing, might be, by you two guys. That's a factor. Buffalo wear their whites. All the hot weather teams had a home game, wore their white uniforms.
What if they wore
that
yellow?
Defense was gassed.
You City gassed. Connect unis. And wear yellow.
I'm sorry?
They could maybe come up with City Connect unis and wear yellow.
It's a little nuanced point, but I'll tell you right now, all the Brady Bobos that want to say that Brady would have won the game if he had been on the Patriots, pick and choose your battles, you jerks.
No, okay. All right, thank you.
What
people are, you know, now it's like Cam could have won this game. Cam would have won this game. Cam could have done that. I'm hearing a lot of it. Ben Volen, just saying. Wiggy, I don't know, maybe. National people like you know.
I saw on Twitter, social media, Shannon Sharpe. They'd be 3-0.
They'd be 0-3.
No, they
would have lost.
He's a bad quarterback. But I would agree with Danny. I cannot remember, and there has been some stinkers in the past where you can look at every single phase. Very rarely do you see a special teams unit from the New England Patriots play as poorly as this team has. A blocked punt. Jake Bailey kicking it out of bounds for the second week in a row. Other than Nick Folk, like, what are the bright spots? Nick Folk?
Nick Folk, Matthew Judon.
Jacoby Myers. And maybe, would you say Kendrick Bourne last week?
Bourne had a big game.
I mean, it's every aspect of it. It's offense, it's defense, it's offensive line, it's defensive line, it's secondary. By the way, 3rd and 1 early in the game. Down 7-0. 3rd and 1. Can you tell me why J.C. Jackson is 8 yards off of Marquise Callaway?
I know.
One step, throws it to Callaway for like a 4 yard. It's
why
don't
you
and
not?
One.
It's the same thing that happened against Miami when it was 1st and 14.
And Waddle got the same thing.
He got 13 yards, and now it's 2nd and 1.
But 3rd and 1. How are you not on the line?
I do not understand.
He was like eight yards off going here. So it's everything. It's secondary. It's linebacker. And it's line. It's the offensive line. It's the running backs. I mean, you got Brandon Bolden. You know, one of your strengths was this offensive line and the depth you had at running back. God, you lose one tackle and you suck. You lose James White and you're awful. You got to go to Brandon Bolden because he's the only one. You have 4 running backs left. He's the only one that can actually block somebody.
It. He's not in there to run the ball.
The other 3 guys can't block
they
anybody.
Cannot block
so why
anybody.
Are all 3
it's,
of them here?
None of them. None of them can block.
So James
They're
White goes down
it.
And all of a sudden you don't have any running backs. Trent Brown goes down and you don't have an offensive line.
So think about it this way. So it's
Is that
so
what I'm supposed to believe?
Just, let me go back to that long drive where they ended up with 3 points after they ran it twice with Bolden. So just as a personnel standpoint, isn't Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith or you know, any combination of Jacoby Myers, Aguilar, or Kendrick Bourne, aren't they a better option than Brandon Bolden on the field? Like, if you know it's 3rd and 12 and they're only rushing 3, they don't care. They're playing coverage. You're not going to score a touchdown. Like, why would you just spread it out and take your chances? Flood the market. Like, if they're going to flood the end zone and make sure you're going to throw it outside the end zone, and so they can just tackle you for, you know, a short gain, so you have to kick it, then you do the same thing. See, my thing is this. If they really believed that he could push the ball and be aggressive and test those areas, they would have thrown it on 1st down. Throw it on 1st down when it's 1st and goal, when you have 1st down on the 11-yard line. You can actually have a fresh set if you get it to the 1. You know, I mean, they don't trust him. Or they don't trust the offensive line. Which one is it? Because they can't run play action. Doesn't work.
Can it be both? Because I do think that that we said this too. You called it too. The Saints were going to kind of, you know, force him to take shots down the field, and he did. And a lot of people took that as, you know, Patriots forcing it. Well, no, because I think that's what the Saints talked about it all week. The guy's gun shy. They talked about it all week. They don't throw the ball downfield. So what do you think the defensive plan was? You know, single high safety and see if he can throw the ball down the sidelines. And he tried. He was 1 for 8 with throws over 15 yards. I think 1 for 8. So he tried. He just missed, which I'm fine with. Keep taking shots. Eventually figure that thing out. Hopefully he gets better, because now this is about just improving. That's what this year's about. They're going 1-3. They're not winning next week. And I don't know about you, but I don't even feel great about freaking Houston. At least they're playing tough right now. That kid Davis Mills actually looked pretty good on Thursday night for a rookie. So I don't feel good about really anything, you know, as far as his Patriots
your kicking
team
game. I feel good
moving forward.
I feel
it was
good.
A complete collapse.
It's funny, like, of all the money that you spent, you can take a call after this. Like, of all the money that they spent in the offseason, your best offensive weapons are an undrafted former quarterback that now plays wide receiver and a journeyman kicker who is now probably going to break a record for most consecutive kicks in the NFL. Out of all the money you spent, Kendrick Bourne, Aguilar, Jonnu Smith, those are the only guys that don't hurt you. They don't hurt you.
Hurt you yet. Oh, no, he did. 4th and 1.
You know, I'll actually say, like, so I'm glad you brought
that
up because
on Andrews,
I don't,
right?
Yeah, if you go back and look at that, whatchamacallit, Mac Jones is backing up too. Mac Jones is backing up. Both receivers on the right and left are starting to move.
Aguilar and Myers.
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah. We saw the whole thing.
So
everybody took off.
I think that was, which is a bigger concern. Hey, Andrews, what's it on? Geez, I don't know. It seems like the offensive line knew what it was, but the receivers didn't.
Andrews had 5 pressures in this game. He wasn't very good.
He was not good.
Let's go to Steven.
But he'll do better.
Steven, go ahead. What's up, buddy?
I have 2 questions. Is this how the Indianapolis Colts fans watch their games when Andrew Luck was running for his life every single passing down?
And he could run.
Yeah, he could run, but he was still running for his life every single. And what does Bill have to do to get Skarnecki back?
Well, I heard he was in Hawaii. Skarnecchia, you mean. Dante Skarnecchia, longtime offensive line coach in the NFL, and especially for the Patriots. Yeah, I don't think he's coming back ever. He already came back once. He's not coming back.
I think, this. First off, this is a rookie quarterback, okay? So, you know, everybody talking about, you know, Cam Newton and what he would have done and everything else, this isn't about right now. This is about moving forward in the future. If Cam Newton was here, you know, it'd probably look very similar. I think they'd still be 1-2 because the Jets just absolutely suck. But we'd be sitting there talking about Cam Newton getting hit and everything else, and it's just, there's no hope. But watching this kid do it and saying, okay, I think he's been playing fine. I really do. I think everyone else is letting him down. I'm not taking all the blame from Mac Jones. He hasn't been perfect, but it is. He's a rookie. Okay, we expected this defense to carry this team. We expected this offensive line and running game to carry this team. This is where they spent that money. And tight ends were going to be used. All these things, they're going to take pressure off the kid. Remember this? They're not going to ask the kid to do too much because their defense is going to be so good. And their offensive line is going to be so good. And their running backs are so deep. So they don't need to ask him to do too much. Now I feel like they do. And it's because everyone around him is failing.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.